This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Major funding for On Point is provided by Liberty Mutual for all your auto, home, life, and business insurance needs. Liberty Mutual. Responsibility. What's your policy?
From WBUR Boston, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. It was the shot or the wisecrack heard around the airport security world. One John Tyner, almost 2 weeks ago at airport security in San Diego, lined up for the new enhanced pat-down procedure and not liking it.
If you'd like to play the screening, we can make that available for you also.
We can do that out here, but if you touch my junk, I'm going to have you arrested.
Now everybody's talking about body scans and enhanced pat-downs and junk. Airport security has become hotly controversial in the busiest travel week of the year. The threats are real, we're told. The uproar is real, we see. This hour on Point, what to do about American airport security. You can join the conversation. Have you had the full new deep pat-down this month? Was it out of line? Worth it for safety? Is there a better way? You can also comment at our website, onpointradio.org, or on Twitter and Facebook at onpointradio. Joining us first today from Towson, Maryland, is Binay Wilson of Aviation Week. She also blogs at the Travel World, according to Binay. Binay Wilson, welcome back to On Point.
Thank you, Tom. I appreciate being on again.
Holy smokes, it's wild out there. Listen with us for just a second, Binay. Here's a traveler speaking with NBC News over the weekend about her impressions of the new security procedures.
It just puts you in a really embarrassing situation, some of the things that are going on right now. I think it's very outrageous what we're doing. I think this world is getting just a little bit crazy.
A little bit crazy, and it gets more explicit. Carolyn Durand, producer for ABC News, said she was subject to an invasive search at Newark Liberty International Airport Sunday morning.
The woman who checked me reached her hands inside my underwear and felt her way around. It was basically worse than going to the gynecologist. It was embarrassing. It was demeaning. It was inappropriate.
Wow. Now, Binay, have you been through the new procedures?
I've not had the pat down. I have gone through the enhanced scanner.
We know that the viral video from John Tyson was played all over the place. Everybody's talking about this now, but tell us what happened here. The procedures changed. They changed how and they changed when that got this whole ball rolling?
Well, I mean, we have to go back to last Christmas when there was the failed bombing plot on the Northwest flight into Detroit.
The underwear bomber, so-called,
exactly.
And literally.
Mm-hmm. So what happened after that was there was a big push to get these enhanced body scanners into airports because the theory was if that failed bomber had been scanned using these scanners, the bomb would have been found. And what has happened is TSA has been buying these machines, and now more and more airports are getting them. Before, there was like maybe just one machine, and you know most people were still going through the regular metal detectors.
Right.
But as more machines came on, people were going through, and if screeners saw something suspicious, more people are being pulled away for that enhanced pat-down.
And what? So this month, I don't know, we've got something like a quarter of airports nearly now have these body scan machines.
Yes, and TSA plans to have 500 of the machines in airports by the end of the year.
And if you don't want that body scan, but you're lined up for it, your only option, technically, is to get the enhanced pat-down. Now, that enhanced pat-down, I guess, Binay, is new this month.
Yes. And they have very specific guidelines on how the pat-downs are done. The screeners are supposed to tell you exactly what they're doing. But unfortunately, there have been some viral cases that have come up, like the gentleman in San Diego, and some more have just been coming out of the woodwork, and it's just been a black eye for TSA. I mean, I don't think anybody is against airport security.
Mm-hmm.
I think people have just finally reached the tipping point with how airport security is done in the United States.
But what are we supposed to do? I mean, The underwear bomber, it was in his underwear. From what I'm reading here, if I understand this correctly, this new enhanced pat-down, and things get explicit here. Your junk is on the table, in public in conversations now, but they are supposed to touch your lower buttocks. They're supposed to touch your groin. Women are touched around their breasts. This is part of the pat-down.
It is, and you either submit to the pat-down or you don't travel, unfortunately.
And more than that, if you try and back out, it's supposed to be an $11,000 fine. They don't want terrorists showing up, seeing that they might have to have a pat-down, then turning around and walking away scot-free.
Exactly. And unfortunately, with these terrorists have just made it very difficult for everyone flying. So I think people are just feeling like they're criminals. And these terrorists have caused this. And I know a lot of people are feeling that the terrorists have actually won in this battle.
You're with Aviation Week, so you're watching what's going on with travel out there. I mean, with all this pushback, what does it mean for travel? You've got the New York City Council members, you know, calling for the city to ban body scanners in New York. You've got these groups coming on now saying let's have a kind of a slowdown by insisting on pat-downs on Wednesday, the day before Thanksgiving. Have you seen already, or are people fearing a real snarl here?
I think people are feeling a real snarl. I mean, when I first heard about National Opt-Out Day, I thought, oh, okay, people are upset, you know, they're going to throw this out, it's not going to get some traction. But I think as people see more and more of these invasive stories, like the woman, the breast cancer survivor who had her prosthetic breast manipulated, and the gentleman this weekend who had the bladder condition and his bag of urine was broken by a screener during the pat-down. I think as people hear those types of stories more, it's going to make them more inclined to do National Opt-Out Day.
No,
but the shame about it is the only people it's really going to hurt are the travelers themselves.
81% in a survey saying that they were all right with the procedures. I said 20, but it's really 15 technically who said they didn't like them. What happens here? How do we get around this? Because people also won't like it if a plane goes down.
Exactly. And I think that TSA, I mean, I know John Pistoli has been on all the talk shows this weekend talking about how they're sorry about the inconvenience, but there are credible threats out there, and this is the way they're going to do it. And the only way I can see this changing is if there's some sort of lawsuit or Congress steps in and actually changes the law.
Well, there are lawsuits. We'll talk about them. What about air travel? Is it actually down, Binet? Do you know?
No, I think that it's actually up. I think people are feeling more optimistic about the economic recovery, even though it's going slowly. And I think people are getting back on planes, and the numbers show that. And the quarterly profits from the airlines in the last quarter also show that. And Thanksgiving is just one of those holidays where people are getting on planes. And it's a very concentrated period. So this opt-out day could cause actually some major travel problems if it's as widespread as people think it's going to be.
And the whole routine really running into a buzzsaw here. Binet Wilson, online managing editor for Business Aviation at Aviation Week. Thank you very much for being with us, Binet.
Thank you, Tom. I appreciate it.
Here's the TSA Transportation Security Chief John Pistoli talking with NBC's Today Show, saying he hopes people remain calm while traveling this holiday.
I hope that people use some judgment and reason to say, look, everybody just wants to enjoy the holidays. Let's be safe when we do that. Let's not tie up those people who just want to go home and spend time with loved ones.
A lot of people will feel that way. You've also got some people pretty hot under the collar. Joining me now from Washington is Chris Calabrese, Legislative Counsel for the American Civil Liberties Union, the ACLU. Chris, thank you very much for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Also with us from Reno, Nevada, is Douglas Laird. He was director of security for Northwest Airlines until 1995. He's now president of Laird & Associates, aviation security consulting firm. Spent 22 years in the U.S. Secret Service. Doug Laird, welcome back to One Point.
Hello.
Chris, first to you, ACLU. Are you okay with this? Is this reasonable? Is this unreasonable search and seizure?
No, we're not okay with it. I mean, we think TSA is giving people, in essence, an intolerable choice. You can either face a virtual strip search, which is someone can take a naked picture of your body, or you can go through this really aggressive groping. And we don't think either of those is an appropriate choice, nor do we think they do a great deal to protect aviation security.
How serious are you? Are you ready to bring a suit to try and stop the body scan, to try and stop the enhanced pat-down?
Well, we're getting hundreds of complaints. I mean, in the 2 weeks that we've had, 2.5 weeks we've had our complaint form up, we've gotten almost 700 complaints. Really credible threats, and they're heartbreaking when you read them. And
credible people, threats? What do you mean?
I'm sorry, credible complaints. Mm-hmm. People who've really, not just people who are writing in, I'm sorry, to complain that, you know, they don't like it, but people who've been through it and are very upset. Sexual assault survivors who say it brings the entire experience back to them of being assaulted. People with disabilities who, in essence, will get this pat down every single time they travel because they have a hip replacement or something that means they're always going to get patted down. You know, it's funny because we keep hearing that people are willing to do this if it makes them safer.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the government's own reports, for example, we heard about the Christmas bomber. After the Christmas bombing, TSA rolled out these virtual strip search machines. But the GAO, the Government Accountability Office, wrote in a report soon after those machines began to be rolled out that, in fact, TSA didn't know whether those machines would have actually caught the Christmas bomber.
I want to get Doug in here before the break. Mm-hmm. I mean, Chris is using pretty provocative language. Virtual strip search. Your identity is supposed to be protected here. Doug, do we need the body scanner? Do we need the deep pat down?
I believe we do. And likewise, if there's something cannot be resolved, there needs to be a very thorough pat down. The UK has been doing invasive pat-downs probably for 15 or 20 years, and they were very much more well accepted in the UK, and that's probably because of the conditions under which they lived previously, you know, with the IRA bombings and that sort of thing. And my friend at the Civil Liberties Union is correct in that nobody can say that if we'd used this technology on Christmas Day, it would have prevented that attempted attack. But my comment back to folks is, if you want to keep the components of bombs and explosives off aircraft, then this is a technology or a pat-down has to be done. There's no other way to get around it.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour about the uproar over American airport security, the backlash against full body scans and deep body pat downs just in time for the busiest travel day of the year. Here's Secretary of State Hillary Clinton talking about the issue on CBS's Face the Nation.
Striking the right balance is what this is about, and I am absolutely confident that our security experts are going to keep trying to get it better and less intrusive and more precise. But at the same time, we want people to travel safely.
Everybody's talking about it. Here's the president in Lisbon on Saturday addressing the controversy over airport security procedures.
I understand people's frustrations, and what I've said to the TSA is that you have to constantly refine and measure whether what we're doing is the only way to assure the American people's safety.
Now, some flyers are threatening to try deliberately to snarl flights on Wednesday, the busiest travel day of the year, with Chris Calabrese of the ACLU, who's raising some concerns about this, and Douglas Laird, who directed security for Northwest Airlines and spent 22 years in the U.S. Secret Service. We're going to hear more from them. I want to hear from our listeners right up front. Marty in Manchester, Vermont. Marty, you're on.
Hello.
Hi.
I'm a former flight attendant and flew for 18 years, and I think that there's some things that listeners might want to consider. No one is in favor of people being embarrassed, but it's the responsibility of the airlines to get people from point A to point B safe, essentially safely. And, you know, it's essentially a choice that people make. If they're going to choose to be on an airplane, there are certain behaviors that are required. You can't get drunk on an airplane. You can't smoke on an airplane. You cannot interfere with the crew. And likewise, with respect to this whole issue, we have to make some compromises in order for people to safely be able to get on an airplane and get to the other end.
Is there a point, though, Marty, that's too much? I mean, have you had the new pat? I haven't had the new pat down, but I mean, You know, they're explicitly there. They're going to touch your buttocks. Your groin is going to be part of the pat-down around your breasts if you're a woman. Have you had that? Is that okay?
Not in the United States, I haven't. Mm-hmm. I've experienced that in other countries.
But are you telling flyers, chill out, just accept that because that's the price of safe flying?
I'm unless the machines can be used alternatively, in mm-hmm. some cases it may be necessary. And I think the amount of danger from these machines is overrated. I think that, you know, there are people who are hyping, you know, the individual danger from an individual exposure
right.
to the, you know, whatever type of energy is used.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, you know, I think people need to put this all into perspective and to understand that people do not inherently have a right to ride on an airplane. That it's something you're buying a ticket for a service. And, you know, there are other choices in terms of transportation.
Yeah, Marty, I appreciate your call. I mean, lots of feedback here online. One commentator says, flying's voluntary. If you don't care for the security measures, you can always drive or take a boat. Gina says, I, for one, am glad people are finally saying enough already. He who gives up freedom for safety deserves neither, sort of quoting Ben Franklin there. Chris at the ACLU, Calabrese, what about it? You know, it's not a right to fly. If you don't want to go through the pat down, take a train.
Well, I mean, and with all due respect, I appreciate that position, but if I'm a business traveler and my job requires that I fly, all right, yes, I can get a new job. But at what point does the line between what I don't have to do? I mean, come on, jobs are pretty hard to come by. In this climate, it's difficult to accept that argument. I also think that people, you know, are not as in favor of these pat-downs as the polls have indicated. Polls have indicated that folks are willing to trade safety and body scanners. And they say we're in favor of body scanners if it gives us more safety. But if it doesn't give them safety and all it results in is this really aggressive pat-down procedure, I think the public opinion on it changes dramatically. I think people say, I've gone through this humiliation for nothing or for very little.
Douglas Laird, how do you read what's going on here? You've dealt with security for a long time in the Secret Service and elsewhere. You must have seen that there is a kind of equation here. If people can see, you know, oh, that's reasonable, they go along, but here something's tipping away from acceptance.
Well, what has always baffled me in the past when they were doing what's been termed aggressive pat-downs in the U.K.,
mm-hmm.
The people that got upset were Americans. Like I say, the British and the Europeans were used to it. My concern has always been, if you're going to do a security procedure, let's do it correctly or not do it at all. And to put it in context, the way they used to do pat-downs in the United States, they couldn't find anything. It was hopeless. So now that they're doing pat-downs that are intrusive, as they have to be, if you're going to find what you're looking for,
mm-hmm.
Then people are very concerned. I don't think the government has done a very good job of making it clear to the American public that we face a threat and we're in war. And I can't help but think that the people that are responsible for these terrorist acts or attempted acts, they must be sitting back there just howling in laughter, what's going on here? My response to people that are concerned is, what will you say when the next Christmas Day bomber, when the bomb does detonate? I guess then, of course, the government will be blamed for not doing anything. They're in a no-win position.
I mean, Chris, you've got the body scan, and the radiation, I read, is quite small, equivalent, I'm told, to 3 or 4 minutes flying along at 30,000 feet, where we always get a little more radiation. You call it a virtual strip search, but it's supposed to be, you know, not identifying the people. The people looking are off in a different room, and all these are supposed to be thrown away forever. So, you know, the pat-down, to Doug's point, if somebody is trying to sneak something onto the plane, they're not going to wear it on their hip. They're going to put it someplace that where you're, you know, reluctant to touch.
Well, I mean, here's what I'll say to the response that what's going to happen the next time that an attack happens or an attempted attack happens. Mm. Well, the president told us after the last attack, he got up, he said on, you know, in a national press conference that what happened was we fell down in our intelligence gathering. That we didn't connect the dots in the way that we were supposed to. He didn't say we need to do aggressive pat downs. He didn't say we need to do virtual strip searches. He said we need to do better intelligence. We need to catch people before they get to the airport. And so, I think that there are other measures we can take. We're in aviation security right now for the long haul. Mm-hmm. Where these measures aren't going away. So we need to develop technologies that not just make us safer, but also respect people's dignity and their privacy. And that seems to be missing from the equation here.
Doug, a lot of people, have gone through this, and after a while, you can feel kind of ridiculous. You see, the sort of archetypal little old granny taking off her shoes and everything else and stuffing it in here and standing against the body scanner, and you think, does that really make sense? What about intelligence? Chris says let's push it out away from the security checkpoint. Work on intelligence here instead of indignities for everyone.
I would be the first to agree that by the time the terrorist gets to the airport, our chance of finding them is much more difficult. We need better intelligence. And the term that we haven't connected the dots is what people tend to use. Well, intelligence gathering is a very inexact science. So I'm more in favor of leaning towards the technology personally. But that said, I think we need to be spending a lot more money in developing the way we deal with intelligence, and I'm not sure that that side of the house is getting the money that they deserve to do the job properly. It's a terrible dilemma we face, and it's not going away. They've been sabotaging aircraft since 1933, and as we improve our technology, they improve their techniques. So it's a game we play every day.
And Al-Qaeda is saying, you can read it in their publications, they're saying straight up, right up front, that they want to go after all kinds of targets, including aviation. Let's get more listeners here. Council Bluffs, Iowa. Chaz, you're on the air.
Yes, hello. I went through the screening process, and I was getting checked in, and I got selected to go through the body scanner, and I was fine with that. It wasn't a big deal for me. But I had forgotten to take my headphones out of my pocket in my jeans, and they took me aside, and I didn't realize it until after I got completely through security. But they said, okay, we're going to have to pat you down, and we're going to go up. And they, made a motion like up my leg, and
yeah.
So they did, and it was awkward, especially in front of everyone. They had offered to kind of, do it in private. But my question is, we're spending all this money on, all this new technology. We are, doing these invasive pat-downs. And, it did make me feel uncomfortable.
How far up did they go, Chaz? Did they really go all the way up your leg? Was there left untouched?
Pretty much no, but the thing is, they didn't find these headphones that were in my pocket.
Oh.
So does it really work? And if it is preventing terrorists from attacking, that's one thing. And but if it's not able to find my headphones in my pocket, and it's really invasive to me, is it really worth it? And could we? Is there a better way to be spending money on these scanners and everything else?
Yeah, Chaz, I appreciate your call. Douglas Laird, how about it? The competence of the people who are, doing these invasive or aggressive pat-downs, they may touch everywhere, but do they know what they're doing?
Boy, that's a good question. If you had to do that sort of thing all day, I can find out. It would seem to me that being a screener would be a pretty depressing job at best. One of the issues we run into is that people are concerned about the body scanning images, and so what they're doing in some cases is they're fogging out, for example, the facial features, and they're fogging out the area around the groin. The problem with that is this technology is not 100% to begin with, and when you start hazing out or fogging out parts of the body for privacy, so to speak, then you cut the probability of finding what you're looking for even worse. And we talked about technology and how it changes. Years ago, they used to X-ray checked luggage. Then we came up with the government FAA, and then TSA now uses computed tomography. The chance of finding a device with an X-ray machine and a checked bag is minimal at best. The chance of finding a device using computer tomography is about as close to 100% as you're going to get.
Is tomography the body scan, Doug?
Better technology.
Is that the body scan, the tomography you're talking about?
No, when they scan the bag.
I see. Mm-hmm.
Same as a CAT scan at the hospital. But what I'm saying or trying to get across is that technology is continually evolving. So right now the best we have is millimeter wave or backscatter X-ray. A few years from now, we'll have better technology, but it's the best we have today.
But even then, if we have better technology, some people are not going to want to have it, to go through it, and then we're up against it again. Celine in Boston. Celine, you're on the air.
Hello. Question. Are these high-tech scanners being sold in the country's origin and actually used? And people like the airline hostess, do they consider that they may become stars of pornography bits? I saw it happen last April when the machines were being studied tested in Boston.
What do you mean you saw it? What did you see, Celine?
A young woman with large breasts and a tight T-shirt was ahead of me, a professionally behaving TSA person, facing outward, watching us. I sort of thought, well, what's going to happen here? So the minute she got up to the scanner, this guy was 180 degrees around watching her and just not glancing, as were other people. So I just thought that was his behavior confirmed to me my suspicions about what might happen.
Well, Douglas Laird, I mean, these are supposed to be the actual scan, which looks through the clothing, is supposed to be done away from the security line itself in a closed room elsewhere where they're not making that connection, Doug, right?
I don't understand what she was saying because that's not the way the system is supposed to work.
But he could still be just ogling a woman who is, I don't know, you know, raising arms and preparing to be scanned. On the other hand, he could be looking for, a bomb.
Well, you know, it comes down to training and being professional in the way you carry out your duties. And nothing's always going to be exactly the way it should be, and that's a management issue that they need to continue to work on.
Chris, the machines themselves, our caller asked about, they cost about $170,000 a piece. There's supposed to be 1,000 of them, the body scan machines, deployed by the end of next year. What about the effectiveness of the machines? You call them, virtual strip search, but is there effectiveness there that makes that, if we put enough buffers around it, worthwhile?
Well, it's a good question. The GAO didn't seem to think it would be terribly effective in at least catching the Christmas bomber. But, there's a couple of interesting empirical points here, if I might. One is that the DHS Inspector General actually came out with a report last week seriously questioning the TSA training procedures, saying that trainers weren't given enough time to train properly, the office that was supposed to do training didn't actually get up and running till last year. So there's pretty good reason to expect that you're going to have a fair amount of difficulty in doing these screening procedures because people aren't trained adequately. But, the second point is just we have these procedures in place, the way the body scanners are supposed to be used, but they're nowhere in law or regulation. There's nothing that keeps TSA from changing them tomorrow, and there's nothing I could point to, for example, and say, this is my right, is that you have to be in another room, or you have to perform this in a certain way, or you have to throw away the image. There's no law that says that.
You must fly. Don't you worry. I mean, it's awkward. It may be embarrassing for people, but you must worry if someone gets through with some kind of weapon or bomb that's not found.
Sure. Of course I do. I mean, if I travel, I have a family. I worry about aviation security. But I also know that airline travel is the safest form of travel there is. Far and away, it's much more safe than the, American highways, for example. So I think that there's a balance we have to strike here. And I worry that a lot of what we're seeing in the airports today is really security theater. It's not making us safer. It's just to put on a show and demonstrate that we're doing something about this issue.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking about the uproar over American airport security, the backlash out there against full body scans and deep body pat downs just in time for the busiest travel day of the year. With Chris Calabrese with the ACLU, they've solicited complaints, and they've had a lot of them looking out at what's happening here. Douglas Laird is with us from Reno, Nevada, spent 22 years in the U.S. Secret Service, 6 or 7 years as head of security for Northwest Airlines, now does aviation security consulting. And we're joined from Princeton, New Jersey by Peter Wood, former professor of anthropology at Boston University, author of A Bee in the Mouth, Anger in America. Peter Wood, thank you very much for being with us.
Hi, Tom.
You think a lot about American attitudes and, for that matter, American anger. What do you see going on here in this pushback or even backlash?
Well, I think, first of all, I think it's a very American reaction to an invasion of privacy. That nothing is more private to Americans than the body parts that the TSA officials want to touch. And while Americans have been willing to be tolerant of a lot of invasive procedures in making flying safe, or at least giving us the sense that it's safe, this is just one grope too far.
But when we're told that there are, you know, people out there who would love to bring down a plane and they might do it by concealing something right there, does that not make the difference this time, Peter?
Well, it's not making the difference to large numbers of American flyers, and that, I think, is really the point, that a security system isn't enhanced if you get massive amounts of civil disobedience or at least a flying public that thinks that this is a set of procedures that they just won't tolerate. And we're going to have trouble in the airports if you find Americans just don't accept this this approach. Are there other ways to make travel safer? Yes, there probably are. The things that we don't usually talk about in these conversations, which go back to profiling travelers. We're groping all sorts of people now who very clearly don't pose any threat whatsoever. But the Transportation Security Administration believes that the only fair way to approach this task is to treat everybody as an equal possible threat. And that just is not realistic, and most Americans know that.
But what about, I mean, in a democracy, you don't want to be just profiling willy-nilly on ethnic basis or otherwise. I mean, maybe that's the price Americans pay for equal treatment under the law or the security regime.
Well, that's an argument, and I'm just pointing out that the argument this time isn't sticking. People have been willing to accept that particular trade-off up to this point. This point looks like it's a point too far.
How do you see this intersecting, Peter, with American politics these days? I mean, conservative commentators have really run with this. Charles Krauthammer in the Washington Post, you know, he says, picking up on the San Diego guy, John Tyner, says, he writes this weekend, or last week, "Don't touch my junk" is the anthem of the modern man, the Tea Party patriot, the late life libertarian, the midterm election voter. And he writes, Charles Krauthammer does, "This time you have gone too far, big bro. The sleeping giant awakes. Take my shoes, remove my belt, waste my time and try my patience, but don't touch my junk." Does this intersect with the American political trends, Peter?
Well, until I had read Krauthammer and George Will, who wrote a very similar column, it hadn't occurred to me. But upon reading them, yes, I do think that there is a connection here, that what is being touched is something that makes Americans angry, the kind of anger that came from the typical Tea Party voter in the last election, connected with a sense that government was too intrusive, too invasive. And now we get the sort of material embodiment of that in a dramatic way. What could be more dramatically illustrative of the government's overreach than the government's actually overreaching?
Peter Wood is author of A Bee in the Mouth, Anger in America. Peter Wood, thank you very much for being with us today.
You're welcome.
Douglas Laird, how about it? Is it profiling versus groping? I mean, is that our choice ultimately here?
Well, everybody talks about profiling. The truth of the matter is it simply doesn't work. If you really look into it,
the Israelis have a pretty good record
from what happened with the African American profiling the police did back in the 60s, and we did away with it. So let's not get overly emotional and go in a direction that doesn't work. Keep in mind that on 9/11, CAPS, the profiling system we used at Northwest that all airlines eventually used, identified 10 of the 19 hijackers. In that sense, profiling does work, but that did not use race or ethnic origin.
What about the Israeli technique of interviewing all kinds of people? In a sense, there's a kind of profiling that goes on there, and many people have been pointing to it in recent days.
Now, they've just got one. That system works for El Al.
Mm-hmm.
But keep in mind, El Al has literally a handful of airplanes. It's a miniature airline compared to the United States. If we tried to do their techniques, the whole system would come to a screeching halt.
Boy, Dave in Hartford, Connecticut. Dave, you're on the air.
Hi, how you doing?
Pretty well. What do you see, Dave?
Not a year ago, maybe 2 years ago, there was a Saudi minister who wanted to be approached by an informer by Al-Qaeda. The guy wanted to meet the minister himself. They searched him, they strip-searched him, they brought him into the minister, and he blew himself up.
Yes, this was the brother of an Al-Qaeda guy in Yemen. I remember that well.
Right. He'd been hidden, the explosives was hidden inside his body. Luckily, the Saudi minister lived. The point is that this kind of stuff can't be stopped by these kind of searches. And all you're doing is creating, a word I think you used, creating theater. And this particular situation that we're doing here is really doesn't reassure me. And I'm essentially giving up my Fourth Amendment freedoms against unreasonable searches and seizure for... to protect my freedom, and that makes no sense at all to me. I don't know what it does to you.
And what if the underwear bomber, you know, 2 comes along and a plane comes down from something hidden in somebody's boxer shorts that brings down a plane? Would you look back and say, boy, we should have had those tough pat downs?
Well, I like to respond to that. I think that's interesting because really that particular aspect of it is. We are essentially right now today in a situation no different than we were on September 10th, just before 9/11. Because now no one's ever going to take over a plane with a box cutter because every old lady and fat man and me and everybody else is going to say, you're not getting in that cockpit.
Mm-hmm.
So all we're really defending against is somebody blowing up a plane. Nobody's going to be able to use a plane as a weapon anymore. At least I don't see that as a possibility.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So why are we enhancing our procedures for any more than the threat we had before 9/11, because nobody is ever going to get in a cockpit again.
But they could just walk on with a bomb if you don't scan or somehow test to see that they're not carrying something.
Certainly, you do a metal detector and you just, you do what you can do. But everybody who gets on a plane knows that there's going to be some risk that something like that might happen. And for the number of miles driven, there's less people injured or hurt on planes than just about anywhere else in the world. So that's my thoughts.
Dave, I appreciate your call very much. Chris, what about the profiling call here? Some are saying, don't do it with groping. Do it with profiling. There have been real serious constitutional issues raised there as well by the ACLU and others.
Well, first, I'd just like to say that I think I should get Dave in my spot. I think Dave really understands that, what we've got at stake here. I mean, I think Douglas said it well. Profiling doesn't work. I mean, as a security procedure, it doesn't work. Terrorists identify the profile very quickly, and they just work around it. So all profiling does is then focus security resources in an area where the terrorists aren't and are going to quickly get around. So, I just don't think profiling works. I just think what we've got in the airports today is overkill or overgrope, I guess, if you will. But I don't think we should switch to profiling. There are very sound constitutional reasons, but I think also very sound security reasons.
But if you don't like, the pat-down, and you don't like the scan, and you don't like profiling, really, how much of a line of defense is there left
sure.
here?
Well, I think there's a lot of things left. I mean, we've already mentioned the intelligence gathering, which is very important. There are other technologies. For example, we're swabbing people's hands at the airport, looking for people who may have touched explosives. That's a non-invasive technology that seems actually to be directed at the threat, which is somebody sneaking a bomb on a plane. Now, of course, there's always ways you can get around that. Someone else can pack the explosives, but we're not looking for 100% solutions because they don't exist, but I think we can chip away at the problem in ways that are not as invasive as a full-body grope.
Let's go to Candy in Daleville, Alabama. Candy, you're on the air.
Hello, Tom.
Hi. What do you see?
I just had a couple points. I mean, first, obviously, 9/11, the tools were already on the plane. It had nothing to do with anybody walking through or anything.
Well, they did bring box cutters on, but then, of course, they went through the door, and so we went.
Well, I understand, but like I said, there's ways to get things on a plane without having it actually a passenger to go through a scanner or anything.
Yeah.
The second thing is the regional airports. I mean, the thousands upon thousands of regional airports that are out there, you can get on them that don't have these scanners and don't, you know, the evasive pet. I mean, to fund all that is tremendous, and you're already going to be selecting just one or two. And if it was the Christmas bomber that we talk about, the thing is, the Christmas bomber might not have been selected, so he could have gone on anyway.
So what do we do?
The thing is that when we don't have it on the travel detail, what do we do? Yeah, I agree that the extensive interviewing that the Israelis do, they're very extensive interviewing before they come on, and the profiling. If it's one or the other, I mean, yes, I believe something like that. Don't take totally of our own personal right. I mean, everybody.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
If only one person is going to be, you're already profiling anyway because you're going to select who's going to go through anyway. So do the obvious, the racial profiling. It's going to happen. To me, I think the other it's a risk anywhere you go. Trains, boats, planes, subways. It's a risk anywhere. If we're going to hide, we really are letting the terrorists do exactly what they want, inflict terror on us.
Yeah, well, Candy, I appreciate your call, and you can hear it. Just, I mean, people working this from every angle, but among the angles, you heard it right there, Chris, racial profiling, it's going to happen. I mean, that's what seems embedded in a lot of the pushback here, the anticipation.
And I have to, you know, I haven't said it strongly enough yet, and I will say it very strongly here. Racial profiling is un-American. It is counter to everything that we believe, and I think that you know, anyone who's got dark skin, anyone who looks like they might be a terrorist, anyone who's ever had, you know, wears a turban as part of their religion, they're Americans. They deserve the same rights and the same freedoms as all of us. They shouldn't have to bear the burden of this in any way. And I will say one thing that TSA has done right is they've applied this equally. And again, I believe that makes security sense, too, because terrorists can figure out profiles. But more to the point, we have to find a way to do this that protects all of our privacy as Americans, but doesn't single out any group or set of individuals and say, you have to bear the burden of our security, you know, the security in America, especially if it doesn't work.
We've got a lot of hurdles here. I'm hearing a lot of hurdles, but fewer answers as to how to make it all work security-wise. Wow. Andy in Nashville, Tennessee. Andy, you're on the air.
Tom, thanks for taking the call.
Yes.
I've been in aviation for about 20 years and come from a rather unique perspective. I've been in air charter and ground handling operations for cargo. I've owned these operations and dealt directly with Homeland Security and the TSA on a lot of issues.
Okay.
One of the earlier comments that struck me was security theater. And I can't remember which one of your guests mentioned that, but it's something that I completely agree with. If you've been around the aviation environment at all, you'll understand that there are so many holes in it. And I think that really goes back to an earlier point that, you know, gathering the intelligence and finding out who's out there that's causing problems, the focus probably needs to be more there than, you know, doing virtual strip searches.
But Andy, since the intelligence may be fallible too, don't we need some kind of line of defense at the airport? Have you been through the new procedures, Andy?
Yes, I have. And actually, I've got a spinal cord implant. And coming out of the Buffalo airport a couple of years ago, because I had an operation in New York, I handed him a medical card. The guy patted me down after I went through the magnetometer. And finally was convinced that I actually did have a spinal cord implant, and then he wanded my lower part of the body, and it had a metal zipper on my khakis. And so he starts intently looking at my crotch and says, sir, I'm going to have to pat you down. At this point, I've taken my shirt up. My belt is off. My top button is unbuttoned, whatever that does. My shoes are gone. And I said, are you serious? And he goes, you can request a private screening room if you wish, sir. So I said, no, go ahead. There's about 30, 40 people behind me.
Oh, jeez.
He gets down on his knees in front of me, puts one hand on each ankle, and slowly goes up my legs until he gets to my crotch, at which point I yell out, oh, yeah! And his hands came off of me, He turned red. Everybody was laughing at him when I got on the plane.
Happy Thanksgiving.
I think it just, you know, demonstrates how absurd and lack of common sense is actually executed by these frontline guys.
Andy, I appreciate your call. It's clear it's going to take a lot of, what, cool-headedness to get through this altogether. I mean, Doug Laird, you're the security guy. You hear the pushback here. You hear that kind of story. You know what the threats are. What's the ideal, Doug? Are we anywhere near it in terms of what we ought to be doing?
Well, again, I think the government, the TSA, DHS, they've done a very poor job of selling it to the public. So you're getting this tremendous backlash. Also, on profiling, I'd like to make a comment. I agree with Chris. It's not as simple as people think. Look at the suicide bombings in Israel. What they do is the other side continually changes the people that are suicide bombers. You know, they start using women, they start using children, and so forth and so on. So it simply doesn't work because it's a moving target.
So your advice to Americans traveling, going through this new procedure, because they're not backing down on it, at least not before the holiday. They're saying it's necessary. Grin and bear it, is that your advice? Doug?
I think we have no choice. I'm a proponent of it. I don't like it any more than anybody else. So either, in my opinion, we either do the pat-down correctly or we don't do it at all.
And Chris, your advice to travelers this season?
Call your congressman.
And say?
I don't like this. Find another way. There are other techniques at work here. You know, use an explosive trace detection machine. Do better intelligence. Say, I don't want my teenage daughter to be patted down.
Well, we wish good luck to everybody who's traveling in this week and in all weeks. It's going to clearly be an interesting path ahead as we work out how to mix privacy and security in this country, just for starters. Chris Calabrese with the American Civil Liberties Union, thank you for joining us today from Washington. Great to have you with
us. Thanks so much.
And Douglas Laird in Reno, Nevada at Laird & Associates. Doug, thank you for your time today.
Enjoy your turkey.
Okay, listeners, thanks for joining us. This is On Point.